We are continuing our study in the book of Acts in the 14th chapter, and we are noticing the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. One incident after another is described to us as we have the record of how Barnabas and Paul preached the gospel among these people who had never heard it before. I wonder if we all have in mind what preaching the gospel would mean. Let me remind you of this, that when Paul and Barnabas would come in there to preach to these people, what they undertook to tell these people was that when Jesus Christ came into this world, he was the Son of God, that he came into this world to save men, that he died for men so that men wouldn't have to die, and through his death he reconciled men to God so that it was possible for a sinner, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to God and get the blessing of God. This blessing of God would be not only that God would forgive him his sins, but that God himself would come and live in the man, and that the human being on earth could have the life of God in his soul because the Holy Spirit would be there. That was the kind of preaching that they did. And they took this out to people in a new country that had never heard of these things before. And so we're now in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, and we have just finished in the first 7 verses noticing how they preached in a city called Iconium until opposition developed to the point of an open break, and then they withdrew. And now we're going to be reading in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 8. And as we do, we come to another incident. Remember that they've just had to leave one city because of trouble, and notice what happened immediately when they came to another. So I'm reading in chapter 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, that he was crippled, he couldn't walk, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now that's the story. This is what happened. You have them coming into this city of Lystra, coming to where this man is a cripple, has never walked in his life. He listened to Paul preaching, and Paul, noticing him, looked at him and saw that this man had faith to be healed. I feel like asking, isn't this something new? This is a little different from what we've heard before. Because here the man himself has faith. And yet I also see this, that Paul saw him and saw that he had faith to receive the blessing of God. That makes me wonder whether we should not be watching for signs of acceptance on the part of those who are listening. So when Paul saw that this young man could believe, now mind you, again I will remind you, that this believing is not a matter of agreeing that something is historically true. This believing is not a matter of reading the record and saying, well, honest men wrote that, and competent men wrote that, and that it happened just the way it said. No, believing means that when you get the promise of God, you consider the promise of God, and you accept it and believe that God will do what he promised he would do. Believing has to do with accepting from God grace that you didn't have, but you will have if you believe in him. And this is what happened here. And Paul was preaching, and he saw this young man listening to him, and Paul steadfastly beholding him, looking at him very closely, perceiving he had faith to be healed, gave him this challenge, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And this man was actually, as it were, ready, and the apostle saw that he was ready, and he called on him to respond, to receive. I know that many of us realize that in our public services, there are some of us who feel that a decision can be made in public in response to a challenge that will be real meaningful, that a preacher could call on a man to turn to God, and that man, in obedience, could respond to the preacher's call and turn to God right then and there. Now, we have other people who think that God doesn't work that way. They think the man would turn on his own, and they conduct their services without using any kind of decision element in the presentation of the gospel. And I want you to notice here that when Paul's doing here, he called on the young man to do something. He saw that the young man was ready, and then he challenged him with this call, "Stand upright on thy feet." Notice that it says that Paul said with a loud voice. I can't help but sympathize in that situation because you know what that means, that Paul himself exercised his faith about the whole thing. Because if he called on that young man to stand upright on his feet, just think what would have happened if he hadn't stood up. And just think what a terrific reaction would have set in if he couldn't have stood up. The point is, he could and that he did when Paul went through with this. But what I am saying to myself is that in our preaching and teaching of the gospel, we should look to see whether there are people ready to respond and give them a chance to respond and expect them to. At any rate, the young man did, and he leaped and walked. Now in verses 11 to 13, we see how the public were affected. When the people saw what had Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. And you just listen to this, you and I hardly know what to make of it, because we haven't seen that sort of thing happen. What actually happened is that the public were ready to think that Barnabas and Paul were actually of God, that they were gods themselves, and that the gods had come down to the earth in the likeness of men. Now, in this enthusiasm of popular acclaim, you see something fundamentally wrong. There was an error in their thinking. And then you will notice that Barnabas and Paul noticed it, and they were deeply affected by it. They tore their clothing, which is a... we read that in the 14th verse, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things?" In other words, there was an error in the thinking of the people. It is a common human error. They were ready to say that Barnabas and Paul were something more than human. And it's a funny thing. People who cannot believe in God can turn right around and give man superhuman ability. They offered public esteem and worship even to Barnabas and Paul. There seems to be no limit to the credulity of the natural man. The natural man seems to be able to just swallow anything if he once sets his mind on it. And in this case, they were going to make gods out of Paul and Barnabas. And now we see how Barnabas and Paul were concerned about it, reading in verse 14 through verse 18. We read, "Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes." Now that English word rent, R-E-N-T, you need to get used to it in the Bible. It means they tore them. It means they tore them in a special ceremonial significance. It was the kind of thing that would mean when they tore their clothes, they were just so sorry. They were just so grieved. They were just so distressed. They were just so chagrined that they did this thing by way of showing how desperately they felt about the whole thing. They rent their clothes, they tore their garments, and ran in among the people, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left himself not without witness in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." What was the concern of Barnabas and Paul? Why were they so anxious to correct this view that the public had? And you might say to me, it's because they were humble men. That's true. You might say to me, it's because they didn't want credit for something they didn't do. And that's very true. But you see, the big thing, I think, that was at the bottom of the concern of Barnabas and Paul, they were grief-stricken at the mistake that the people were making. It was a mistake to give man the honor that belongs to God. What Barnabas and Paul were seeing actually was that these people were not seeing the hand of God. They saw Barnabas and Paul, and they gave them credit. And now if you look in verses 15 to 17 as I read them to you, you get Paul's speech. And if you see this speech that Paul made here and compare it with his speech that he made to the synagogue in Antioch and Pisidia that we studied about a couple of weeks ago when we were in chapter 13 and noticing it there. When he was talking in Antioch and Pisidia in the synagogue and he argued with the people there about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, he argued from Scripture, and the whole discussion is a long interpretation of the prophecy of the Old Testament. But now he is talking in Lycaonia, and you see these people in this city of Lystra, they do not know the prophecy of the Old Testament. There's no use of telling them according to the prophecy of the Old Testament because they don't know it. And so you find here in this whole message of Paul's to these people in these three verses, 15, 16, and 17, there's no mention of Scripture. He doesn't quote the Bible at all because the people don't know it. They wouldn't know what that meant. But he does draw on nature. The people knew about nature and they went by nature, and he calls on them about that. He appeals to nature. And he reminds them that the God who gives them these fruitful seasons, the God who is watching over them all the time, is the real God, and it isn't Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul weren't giving them any fruitful seasons. God was doing that, and he wanted to draw attention to that. The goodness of God seen in nature was to be a valid basis on which people could come to God, and it's true to this day. And when you and I are going to deal with people about God, sometimes just quoting Scripture to them is no real help because they don't believe the Bible anyway. Matter of fact, they don't even know what it says. And how can they possibly believe it? So if you're going to deal with some people, sometimes we have to start right here where Paul was here. And that is, talk with what they know. They know the things of nature. And you can make some approach to them in that way. Now, there's more true than what's in nature, and more will be taught than what's in nature. But what's in nature can be used as a beginning for an understanding of the gospel. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand these things and to grow in grace and in knowledge through the Lord Jesus Christ. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.